What do you do when you face a difficult situation? Maybe it's a difficult situation that maybe necessarily doesn't have great ramifications, but you're in some kind of a jam and, you know, you don't know how to get out of it. You're in downtown Milwaukee and you have, you know, three kids in the car and they're all buckled up in their car seats and you accidentally lock the keys in the car. You know, what are you going to do? You know, our natural reaction is maybe to panic. You know, maybe something else happens. You know, you're in a rush to get somewhere, and you walk outside, and, you know, your tire's flat. You know, what are you going to do? You know, it could be something maybe with more ramifications just than just the little things of life that tend to happen. You know, maybe it's a health situation. Maybe it's some type of relationship situation with one of your relatives. And you just can't seem to get along with them. And it's like, boy, what do we do? You know, maybe it's a big project. You know, college and high school, about ready to come start, and that means projects are coming too. You know, and you have this big project due the next day, and you haven't even started on it. Maybe it's your own fault, but, you know, what are you going to do? Well, if you could take your Bibles, please, and turn to Nehemiah chapter 1, we find that Nehemiah was facing a difficult situation. He saw a great need, and he was far away from the need. How did Nehemiah deal with this difficult situation, with this great burden that he was facing? Tonight I'd like to look at Nehemiah chapter 1 and 2. Might look at some other places as well. And look at how do we deal with difficult situations. And I'd like to look at this example of Nehemiah, and hopefully it can be a help to us in our day-to-day life. It says in Nehemiah chapter 1 and verse 1, the words of Nehemiah the son of Hakaliah, and it came to pass in the month Chislu, in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan the palace, that Hanani, one of my brethren, came, he and certain men of Judah, and I asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left of the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. And it came to pass, when I heard these words, that I sat down and wept, and mourned certain days, and fasted, and prayed before the God of heaven. So obviously this situation here that Nehemiah is facing, this report that he hears of the condition of Jerusalem, and what it was like, was something that was near and dear to his heart. This wasn't just some light situation to him. You know, imagine if you're maybe you're a missionary off on the foreign field, and you hear maybe you have a house in the States, or maybe you're in the States and you have a house back on the mission field. Many times that's more like it with missionaries. And maybe while you're back, you hear that your house burnt down. And you're in the States, and your house is way over on the mission field. You know, and you had a lot of maybe personal belongings in that house. Maybe you had some things that were, you know, dear to your heart. You know, how do you think you would respond? You know, we many times people in America will cry when a cat dies or a dog dies. You know, and here Nehemiah is facing the fact that, now obviously this had taken place a long time ago, but maybe he didn't know the extent of the damage that took place. Or maybe this had just, the weight of it had never been felt by him. But obviously he is under a great burden as he hears of the destruction of the city of Jerusalem, really the center of the Jewish people. And what is the first thing that he does? Well, it says, "And it came to pass when I heard these words, I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted." And now what was all this associated with? "And prayed before the God of heaven." So obviously, Nehemiah took this burden to the Lord. All right, he prayed. Now hopefully that's something that we'll do when we have a great burden. You know, take it to the Lord in prayer. You know, there wasn't much Nehemiah at this point could do about what was going on in Jerusalem. You know, he's a long ways off. So he goes to the Lord in prayer. He says, "And said, I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love him and observe his commandments." Now notice, the first thing Nehemiah did not do is think, "Boy, I am the king's cupbearer. Hey, I have access to the king. Boy, I got a great idea. Maybe I can talk to the king about getting some money, borrowing some money, or maybe he'd even lend some money to the project, and we can go back to Jerusalem." You know, we like to come up with great ideas many times when we see a situation like this. You know, and Nehemiah had access to the king. I mean, he was his cupbearer. But notice, that isn't the first thing that he did. The first thing that he did was he went to God, and he sought the Lord. Now notice some things about this prayer that Nehemiah did. In verse number 6, he says, "Let thine ear now be attentive, and thine eyes open." So here we have some anthropomorphisms here, God's ear, his eyes, to help us understand that God sees, that he hears. "That thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now, day and night, for the children of Israel, thy servants." So notice that, how much he was praying, "which I pray before thee now, day and night." All right, this was a burden that he was carrying with him all day long, all night long. "For the children of Israel, thy servants." And notice what he says, "and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against thee. Both I and my father's house have sinned." So we find the first thing he does here, he's carrying this great burden, he prays. He brings the burden before the Lord. But notice, along with this prayer, he also confesses sin. Nehemiah knew the word of God, which we'll find out from the prayer that he prays. And he recognized that the reason that the children of Israel were in the circumstances that they were in Jerusalem, was in the state that it was in, was because of the sin of the people of Israel. Now, how did he know that? Well, he knew God's word. He knew the history of the nation. He was willing to be honest. And so we find this confession of sin. Now, if we're facing a difficult circumstance, and that difficult circumstance has to do with something because of some sort of sin in our lives or in our family, well, then we better be willing to confess that sin and humble ourselves before God. Now, not every difficult situation we face is not necessarily because of a sin. All right? But many times they can be. People can get into financial difficulty because of sin. All right? People can get into family relationship difficulties because of sin. People's houses can be destroyed because of sin. And so if sin is one of the issues that has to be dealt with, now, obviously, Jerusalem wasn't destroyed necessarily directly by sin. In other words, there wasn't this big bomb called sin that landed on Jerusalem. All right? It was the Babylonian army that came in and destroyed it. But why did God allow them to destroy it? Because of their sin. All right? And so we need to confess our sin. We need to make sure that we're right before God. All right? But then notice what he does here, what he says. So we find he confesses his sin. I guess there's one other thing I wanted to point out about this. Really, we see his humility. Notice what he doesn't just say, I know that the children of Israel are wicked sinners, but he says, which we have sinned against thee. Both I and my father's house have sinned. We have dealt very corruptly against thee and have not kept the commandments, nor the statutes, nor the judgments which thou commandest thy servant Moses. So he wasn't proudly confessing sin, but he was really showing his humility and coming before God. You know, it's easy for us to point out other people's sins and say, Lord, forgive them for their sin. sometimes that can be hard when somebody sinned against us. You know, but here, really, Nehemiah shows his humility. And really, this is a perfect example of 2 Chronicles 7:14. You know, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, you know, and turn from their wicked ways. And that's what Nehemiah is doing here. He's humbling himself. He's confessing his sin. He's confessing the sin of the nation of Israel. So we say we have some humility here. 1 Peter 5:6, what does it say? We need to what? Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may what? That he may exalt you in due season. And what is the next verse? Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Sometimes we can cast all our care upon God, but maybe we don't always humble ourselves first. Maybe sometimes we humble ourselves, but we forget that, hey, God's waiting to carry the load. All right, so he confessed his sin, but along with that, there was humility. Then we find in verse number 8, he says, remember, I beseech thee, the word that thou commandest thy servant Moses, saying, if ye transgress, I will scatter you abroad among the nations. But if ye turn unto me and keep my commandments and do them, though there were of you cast unto the uttermost part of the heaven, yet will I gather them from thence, and will bring them unto the place that I have chosen to set my name there. So we find here that he claims the promises of God. All right, Nehemiah, I mean, if we're going to claim the promises of God, obviously it requires that we what? That we know them. All right, Nehemiah seems to have I don't know how many portions of Scripture he knew, but he obviously had a good understanding of this portion of Scripture. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 4. Verse 25. May not read the whole section, but we'll read of some verses here. Verse 25 says, when thou shalt beget children and children's children, ye shall remain long in the land, and shall corrupt yourselves, and make a graven image or the likeness of anything, and shall do evil in the sight of the Lord thy God, to provoke him to anger. I call heaven and earth to witness against you this day, that ye shall soon utterly perish from off the land whereunto ye go over Jordan to possess it. Ye shall not prolong your days upon it, but shall utterly be destroyed. And the Lord shall scatter you among the nations, and ye shall be left few in number among the heathen, whither the Lord shall lead you. Go to verse 29. But if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him, if thou seek him with all thy heart, and with all thy soul. Now, if you wonder what it means, if thou seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul, well, look at what Nehemiah is doing here. Remember what he said to the Lord. Well, in verse 4, it says that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days. and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. All right, but in his prayer he said, which I pray before thee now, day and night. Okay, so this is what seeking God, when it talks about if thou seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul. You know, it's not just a little prayer here and there, but it is a genuine seeking of God. I mean, when there is, our hearts are really burdened for something, I mean, that is constantly on our minds. Verse 30, when thou art in tribulation and all these things are come upon thee, even in the latter days, if thou turn to the Lord thy God and shall be obedient unto his voice. Okay, then there's a number of verses here. It says, well, verse 31, I guess it says it right there. For the Lord thy God is a merciful God. He will not forsake thee, neither destroy thee, nor forget the covenant of thy fathers, which he sware unto them. So we find that what does Nehemiah do? Well, he claims the promises of God. But notice next here, let's go to verse number 10. He says, now these are thy servants and thy people, whom thou hast redeemed by thy great power and by thy strong hand. Now, what was one of the things that Israel had done? Well, they had turned from God. They had made their own idols. Okay, do you think at that point that they would say, we're your servants, we are your people, God? Well, no. But here, what is Nehemiah doing? Well, really, he's showing his submission. He's really submitting himself to God. We're your people. We're your servants. You know, when we're in a difficult situation, we need to make sure that our lives are submitted to God's plan. All right, and why is that important? Well, if our lives are submitted to God's plan, then what can God do? Well, then he can take over. And we can turn the situation over to him once we are under his control. All right, so what does Nehemiah say? He says, we are thy servants, we are thy people. We are here to do what you want us to do. And it is that point that God can take control and we can depend upon him. And that is what he does. Notice verse 11. O Lord, I beseech thee, let now thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant and to the prayer of thy servants who desire to fear thy name. And prosper, I pray thee, thy servant this day, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man, for I was the king's cupbearer. All right, so he turns to dependence upon God. Lord, I need your help. I need your favor. As I go in front of the king to ask this request. You know, I might be his cupbearer, but I can't just do it myself. I need your help. Be merciful unto us. We find that he depends upon God. This is something that he does later on. Notice verse 20 of chapter 2. He says, then answered I them and said unto them, the God of heaven, he will prosper us. Therefore, we his servants will arise and build. All right, notice their dependence upon God. But ye have no portion, nor right, nor memorial in Jerusalem. So again, his dependence upon God. And if we're going to face a difficult circumstance and we're going to overcome it, it must be in God's help. You know, like the song says, the arm of flesh will fail you. You dare not trust your own. Okay, but notice what this dependence upon God was. It was not just a dependence upon God where Nehemiah gets done praying and he goes and sits down and says, well, God's going to do all the work. You know, the whole problem solved. Nothing for me to worry about, you know. Let's go sit down and have some watermelon. You know, no, what does he do? Well, notice what he says here. The end of verse 11, "For I was the king's cupbearer." Okay, what did he do? Well, you read through chapter 2, and what did he went to work. All right, he didn't sit idly by because now he had given the problem to God. Remember his words that he said earlier, "We are thy what? Servants." All right? He was approaching this problem with the fact that, you know what, Lord, I'm going to do what you are calling me to do, but I am going to depend upon you for the mercy, for the strength that I need to accomplish the task that you have for me to do. And that is what dependence upon God is all about. You know, you can say, well, I'm going to depend upon God to see someone saved, but if you don't try to witness to anybody, then don't expect to see people saved. All right, if we're going to depend upon God, then we better get busy showing our dependence upon him. All right, so what did Nehemiah do? Well, he goes to the king. He makes his request. He goes to Jerusalem. Now, obviously, we know the outcome. The walls were built, and they faced, you know, he faced more difficult circumstances while the walls were being built. In chapter 4, we'll just look at this quickly and then we'll close. But he faced another difficult circumstance. You know, and here's somebody, you know, nagging him. Verse 2, "What do these feeble Jews?" Boy, how would you like it if somebody came up and said that to you? You know, especially if you're a guy. Feeble. You know, that's not a very nice word. Sometimes we feel that way, though. But we don't like admitting it. Notice what he does, though. Verse 4, "Hear, O our God, for we are despised." Again, he goes to the Lord for help. Verse number 6, "So built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work." Verse 9, "Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto our God and set a watch against them day and night because of them." Verse 15, "It came to pass when our enemies heard that it was known unto us, and God had brought their counsel to naught, that we returned all of us to the wall, every one unto his work." You know, they continued to face some difficult circumstances along the way. It wasn't something easy. It was difficult. It continued to be. But they continued to go forward. They continued to depend upon God. They continued to go to him in prayer. And every time, God supplied the need. You know, what do we do when we face difficult situations? Do we give up? You know, do we get mad? Do we try to solve the problem ourselves? Or do we go to God first? You know, do we confess sin that's in our lives that's hindering our relationship? Maybe that was the cause of the situation that we are facing. Do we humble ourselves before God? Do we claim God's promises? Do we submit ourselves to his plan and to his purpose for our lives? And then depend upon God and go forth in his strength to accomplish his will. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this example of Nehemiah. And Lord, all of us face varying degrees of difficulties in our lives. Lord, I pray that you would help us to turn those situations over to you. And Lord, that we would allow you to work, but Lord, at the same time that we would be your servants. And that we would be willing to put aside our flesh and simply do that which you have called us to do. Lord, the promise in your word was there. Lord, your promises are in your word. But Lord, what is needed is people that will claim them and will go forth depending upon you. Lord, I just pray that you would help us to face these difficulties according to your plan. Lord, that we wouldn't try to solve all the problems ourselves. Lord, as we see you at work in our lives, may we give you the honor and the glory that you deserve. We pray these things in Christ's name.